Hey guys, Mark Sessler here, and before we get to today's show, the NFL season, it's not over yet. If your season-long fantasy football league just isn't cutting it, get your mojo back at FanDuel.com and pick up a new team every week. Joe Watson from New York.
I know that guy.
He played fantasy football on FanDuel, Dan, for less than 2 weeks. Listen to this, last season, won over $30,000. Mm. Join him in the hundreds of other thousands of others who have already won money. Dan, I know you and I had a fantasy football team. That thing was in the darkness by week five.
Kate Mara failed this season. No money for us.
We could have used it. FanDuel.com, no season-long commitment, no upfront fees. Play each week or whenever you want. Set a new lineup each week and win every week if you're good enough. Probably Dan's issue. FanDuel is paying out more than $170 million this season, but you have to play to win to sign up. So sign up today. Go to FanDuel.com and click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner. Use my code, AROUND, and sign up now. It gets better. New user specials are ending soon. FanDuel will match your first deposit dollar up to $200. That's right, up to $200 free. Offer is only good for the first 50 people that use my code, AROUND. Don't forget again, AROUND, FanDuel.com, where every week is a new season. That's FanDuel.com. Sign up today.
The Around the NFL podcast is tied for first place in the NFC South.
Welcome back to another edition of the Around the NFL podcast. My name is Dan Hanses, and I'm joined by a room filled with heroes, Mark Sessler, Chris Wessling, and Greg Rosenthal. What's up, boys?
Hey, Dan.
What is happening? Thursday show, Thursday preview show. Mark with a big old grin on his face. How you doing, buddy?
I hear bizarre computer sounds in the background. Unprofessional.
Well, you know. Professional is not we don't always do professional well, as your wife went after us for our fashion, and sometimes things get a little blue in here. Sometimes we're not quite up to code with some other talent. We're trying our best, though. We do what we do.
I feel like Dan is embracing being a talent, though. Like, I forgot to bring up his precious research packet today,
my research
which
packet.
He can't be bothered to actually ask for on
Love
his
it.
Own. They could just give him one.
Beautiful thing.
And he had a Chris Berman-like emotional meltdown, and I had to run back downstairs.
Everything you just said was incorrect, right down to run back down.
You got
to
play it up for the pod, you know.
By the way, Dan, bad idea to be ordering your boss around.
Well, that's why it's all fiction, because I'm smarter than that.
Well, ask me if I have a God complex. Let me tell you something. I am God.
It's funny you say that, too. Because
did I not scurry downstairs to go get it for you?
You got it. Accurate. And no, I feel warm now because I didn't feel right without it. But when I was doing an NFL Now hit, I don't know if people know, but we do these NFL Now news hits every day. We take turns going over there, in addition to the exclusive content we have in here in Studio 66. A lot of stuff in NFL Now from around the NFL. But anyway, I was there and I was asking when they were putting the mic on me and everything and the earpiece, I said, do other talent do this themselves, or am I being like a jerk by having you put it on me? He's like, most people have it put on them, but some people do it themselves. And I said, you don't have to worry about being a prima donna. And I was like, well, I'm like 18 months away from being a prima donna. Don't worry.
Maybe sooner than that.
Yeah, I think it's sooner.
The signals we're gathering.
I think the fast
sooner.
Track that.
All right,
estimate.
15 to 18 months. All right, so this is the big Thursday show. TD behind the glass. Welcome back, buddy. You ducked out, took a little bit of a sick day to go to visit the doctor. Are you okay?
All I know is, you mess with me, you got problems. That's all I know.
Oh, a little J.J. Watt.
That's great.
That's all it is. I mean, we had Zach Dressler here doing his best E.J. Manuel impression from the last show.
That's
and I'm
terrible.
You know, bringing the J.J. Watt
I know this
intensity.
This goes totally against HR standards, but what was wrong with you? What's your illess?
Well, we could talk about that.
Wow.
Personal?
I want information.
You get it personal. I mean,
By the way, Z Drizzle did a great job.
He did a great job, as always.
And you, I'm glad you're still with us. That J.J. Watt
here.
Drop, that was from inside the NFL, and that was during a stretching before that Texans-Titans wipeout on Sunday. That is an instant iconic sound bit. What is it? We have the Singletary one. It's similar. It's in that club.
I like this kind of party.
I think it's already in that group. and I tweeted, and this time I knew it was a good tweet because the old Gregster over here, the boss, retweeted me.
The boss.
Yeah.
So you trust my taste.
I do. When he's inducted into Canton in about, 16 or 17 years or whatever, they will play that clip, guaranteed.
The snow caps part?
I don't know about the snow caps part. That, to me, didn't carry as much fire as this does.
All I know is you mess with me, you got problems.
That's
great. All I know.
That's so good.
I like this kind of party.
Yeah.
All right. So, yeah, good job there. Welcome back, TD. And, Mark, if you have any other personal questions, you want to get them out right now?
Well, apparently that's not open for business, those questions. Got a lot of questions about TD.
This is our big preview show. We're going to get to all the Sunday games and, of course, the Monday night game. But before that, you know, we talked about the A team, the B team, the C team. For the first time this season, a Rosenthal hands us joint. It's called the X team because it's the X factor. We're going to throw it to
throw
us.
Throw up the X.
Throw up the X and do the Rockefeller sign because we handled the Thursday night game, Cowboys-Bears. So I guess I throw it to myself. All right, so there it is. The Dallas Cowboys back in the win column on Thursday night.
Woo!
They beat the Chicago Bears, Greg, excited. 41-28 win, a game in which the recipe to avoid a December collapse, apparently, for Jason Garrett was give DeMarco Murray the ball again and again and again and again. He sets a career high in both carries and receptions in the game, and he got the job done. He basically did the work, the heavy lifting, and a big win for the Cowboys.
Murray is so valuable to this team in so many ways, but part of it is because he makes life so much easier on the defense. I mean, he had 24 touches in the first half. That was more than the entire amount of plays that the Bears have. So you keep this pretty mediocre Cowboys defense off the field. You keep Tony Romo mostly dinking and dunking on a night, Dan, where you kind of noticed he didn't look like he was looking to go down the field.
Yeah, he looked a little stiff, especially in the first half. I don't know if it was the weather or what.
But he ends up with 5 incompletions and 3 touchdowns, and you can't fault their offensive performance at all. And you wonder if DeMarco Murray's agent is watching this, is he happy that his guy is going over 230 yards from scrimmage, or is he kind of worried that this guy's going to break down by the end of this year?
All I could think as I was watching it, and you said it, he had 24 touches in the first half. I tweeted at the time that he was on pace for 50 in the game. I always think was, there's no way the Cowboys have any intention on giving this guy a big contract. They're going to use every ounce of this guy's ability up this season, get all the juice out of the tank, and then go grab Adrian Peterson in the offseason. So, yes, I don't know if they're using him in the right way, and they continue to, as my mother would say, spit in the sky about using him so much with his injury-prone history.
It would be a Jerry Jones thing, actually, to give him that huge money and then just watch him get hurt.
Well, that's true, too. But, yeah, I mean, it's a dangerous dance they're doing right now, but it's working. And they're 9-4. They're not going to go 8-8, and that is the first time that they will not go 8-8 and 4 seasons or 3 seasons. That's a major accomplishment, and it sets up, if the Eagles can't take care of business at home against the Seahawks, it sets up a huge Week 15 matchup with NFC East on the line or the lead on the line. So the Cowboys took care of business. Bad Bears team. The Bears stink. They're awful. You said it. You can't believe they have 5 wins this season.
I can't.
I agree 100%.
Their defense is so bad. And then the offense, they lost Brandon Marshall to what looked like a serious rib injury, ends up going to the hospital. He tweets later that he's okay, so we don't know what his long-term issue is. But you look at Jay Cutler in the offense, and you're not quite sure why it's not doing well. You can't really point to Cutler's night and say, oh, he played really poorly. He didn't play that poorly, but suddenly it's 35-7 late in the third quarter, and that's kind of been what's happened in every Bears game.
Yeah, and they did that move when they actually almost made a game of it late.
Epic fantasy garbage
time. A lot of garbage points, but they almost made a game of it because they got two quick touchdowns. And then when they closed it within 10, and there were about 6 minutes to play, and you thought, oh, they could kick it off, get a stop here, maybe get the ball back, get it to one score. But instead, Trestman calls for another onside kick, which I thought was silly, but also showed that this was almost like that move when you're playing video games against someone that's much better than you, and you know they're going to score on you in Madden. So your only chance basically is to go for it on every fourth down and always onside kick it. And it didn't work out. The Cowboys recovered the second or the third onside kick, and the game was essentially over.
Right. I mean, I agreed with you that they should have just kicked it off, but you have to get a stop. And the Cowboys scored on 7 straight possessions before they kneeled down at the end of the game. So they didn't have a stop since the middle of the first quarter. You can't really blame Trestman for what he did.
And yet, the Cowboys are still yelling at each other on the sidelines constantly. What is going on?
Why is Dez Bryant always angry?
Dez is furious. I don't know if it's because he didn't score a touchdown for the second straight game or what, but he's furious. Orlando Scandrick, he could have been committed. If there was a psychologist or some type of someone in the mental health field on this field, they would have locked him up. DeMarco Murray yelling at people. This is a very emotional
what
Cowboys
team. What the hell's going on
out here? This was like their Super Bowl. They climbed the mountain, 9 wins. That's what they've been aiming for. I do want to give Garrett credit before we get out of here quickly. Goes for it on 4th-and-1 2 times in the red zone on Dallas's first touchdown drive. That was nice. Show a little gumption here. Mm. And then I also think this has been – the most predictable team in the league. They always take care of the bad teams. Washington is the one exception here that they usually win somewhat convincingly against the bad teams. So they're kind of a team that's taking care of business. They've lost to the good teams. They beat the bad teams. And, you know, let's give Garrett a little credit.
And you were giving me problems for picking the Cowboys too much this season. Listen, the Cowboys are doing quite well.
Fine, but they're not going to beat good teams. So they go to Philly. They lose that. They play the Colts. They lose that, and that sets up a nail-biter trip to Washington to finish the season.
All right, we'll see about that. We'll see about that. In fact, I think the Cowboys will win next week. But that's a discussion for another podcast. All right, that's it for the Thursday night discussion. Let's send it back to the group. All right, so that is it. That's Thursday night.
Extreme takes by you guys.
Hot takes. X takes. We are now going to get to the Sunday games, and – this is now no more buys. Last week there weren't any buys either, were there?
There were not, but there were 3 Thursday games,
yeah,
so that kind of lightened the Sunday load.
A big, big, big Sunday grouping of games.
A
so
mélange.
We got a lot of games to get to. So, you know, I know sometimes we get a little off track. We have to do our best to get through these games without giving people a 17-hour podcast. I think we could do it, though. I have faith in us.
Stop being so windy, Wes. You know, just on and on. You
I talk. Got asthma. Leave me alone.
You should have Dr. Sester check that out, Wes.
That'll be fine. That'll be fine from you.
All right, let's get into Sunday, and we'll start with the New England Patriots, who are coming off that tough loss at Lambeau. It played pretty well, but not good enough to win. Now they head to San Diego to face the team of around the NFL, the San Diego Chargers, coming off that great comeback win over the Ravens. This is a very good matchup, and I'm not afraid to say it, and I'm a little bit ashamed. Do we have our Ameritrade, what do we call it, confident challenges?
TD Ameritrade confident call.
Thank you very much. Confident call. I had my confident call in the Patriots. But now I'm like thinking, I think the Chargers might win this game. I got a bit of a sense that the Chargers are going to show up and play very well in their building. Am I crazy?
I think you're overthinking it. I mean, New England went into Green Bay and very nearly – won that game, or at least forced Aaron Rodgers in what would have been a 2-minute drill to win it for Green Bay. They have been on absolute fire. And the Chargers, I think their offense looked very good against Baltimore. Their secondary can be carved up, though. Rob Gronkowski's going to do fine. New England has this thing.
It wouldn't surprise me if the Chargers are right in this game. Anytime you have a quarterback as good as Phillip Rivers, I have him as a top 5 quarterback this year, going against a team that really cannot rush the passer that well one-on-one. And I know the Chargers' offensive line has struggled, but I do think that's a problem for the Patriots. Belichick's been good at being creative, but Rivers is excellent in kind of recognizing what the defense is doing. It wouldn't surprise me if they put up 30 points on the Patriots.
Patriots are 32-4 over the last 5 years in the second half of the season.
And Rivers isn't much worse, though. It's great. Rivers' record in December is almost as good as Brady's.
Not against Tom Brady, it isn't.
I think the Patriots are out of the Chargers league right now. I think the Patriots play against teams like the Packers and Broncos, and the Chargers play against teams like the Ravens.
Can the Chargers afford to lose this game, or is this basically...
No, their schedule is brutal.
Playoffs or bust scenario right now.
All of these teams with 5 losses, I think... they can lose one more. The Chargers have a tough one week after week, so you'd love to take care of your home ones. But, no, they're going to have to go. They're going to have to beat Kansas City. They're going to have to beat Denver probably later in the year. It's a very tough road here for the team of ATL.
What's New England's weakness?
I was about to ask the same question. I mean, you sound like you're convinced, and you always start spinning
this
a little bit.
Because we know the Chargers have weaknesses, and we know Bill Belichick can exploit weaknesses.
It's not a great pass rush right now. If they get Chandler Jones back for this game, that would be fantastic.
Doesn't matter if you have a great pass rush when you face the Chargers.
You ask for a weakness if you wanted to make one. They're not really hitting on vertical throws this year at all. I mean, they don't have anyone that's going to beat you deep, and Tom Brady hasn't hit on those. If you're looking for weaknesses, I mean, they're not huge weaknesses.
They will take a running back that we've never heard of, someone who literally has never played 180 yards.
I have a prediction who it will be. Troy Brown. By the way,
bingo.
TD, if the Chargers do win this game, let's lock it in and make a note of it to play the entire San Diego Superchargers song.
Ooh.
We'll have to earn it. We're not going to play it just to be willy-nilly. But if they take down the Pats, everyone will be back, and including Wes. Wes, the Chargers show up in a big way and spank the Pats. You're on, right?
I don't take ex-girlfriends back.
So lame.
That's not even true. I don't believe.
Your history says otherwise.
You know,
are
maybe
you sure?
Just like a night or a couple nights here or there. You know what I'm saying? You know it.
I know what you're talking about.
The Chargers here, would they get you excited at least when you turned on that game rewind last week and you watched that Ravens game? I mean, you had to be impressed.
The Ravens got me excited.
Impressed with the heart that the Chargers on offense especially showed. A lot of firepower there.
Yeah, Phillip Rivers had a good game. He pulled the team out of the funk.
Keenan Allen is
We've
nice.
Learned a lot
Antonio
more about
Gates
Wes
is going to the Hall of Fame.
Then we have the Patriots in this segment.
All right, let's move on. I can't wait till Sunday. Let's move on. This is this next game might be the game of the week, actually. The Seattle Seahawks, they seem to be potentially rounding into 2013 form right now. This will be a big test to see if they're all the way back. They're heading to Philly to face the Genius and the Eagles. The Eagles, of course, spanked the Cowboys on Thanksgiving. That was an impressive win as well. I mean, both teams played on Thanksgiving and both played very well in a really nice win. So now they face off. This will be a big test for Mark Sanchez, of course, who's had the schedule gods with him a little bit since becoming a starter. This is a real test. And for the Seahawks, a big test to see how they can handle a real NFC contender on the road. Your thoughts, guys?
I think it's cool that we get to see this matchup now. Had it been back in week 4 or 5 when Seattle was kind of figuring itself out and going through injuries, last 2 weeks, Seattle's defense, as we've said a number of times on the show, looks absolutely lights out, as good as last year's, and we're getting that against an Eagles offense that's firing on all cylinders, finally running the ball the way that we expect them to. So that alone makes this a great watch.
Bobby Wagner, I think, makes the biggest difference of any big change that we've seen of the Seattle defense. I mean, he might be the most valuable player on that defense, and him back in the lineup has really changed everything they've done.
I've heard that theory several other places, and I don't know how you separate Bobby Wagner from Byron Maxwell and Cam Chancellor.
Cam Chancellor looks better, too.
All came back at the same time, and the defense just got cohesive.
I say it because I watch in the Cardinals game and the 49ers game. Bobby Wagner is all over the field. You're right, Maxwell and Chancellor looks better, too. I mean, that
Kevin Williams is playing great, too.
Right, and Wagner is just one of the best, you know, ball pursuit sort of run-stopping middle linebackers out there.
By the way, one stat, I'm just looking over some numbers. Remember, this went well into the regular season, but LeSean McCoy, we talked about what a bad season he was having. All of a sudden, you look up, he's got over 1,000 yards through 13 games and averaging over 4 yards a carry, 4 touchdowns. This guy's back, and that's a big reason why the Eagles are able to win with Mark Sanchez.
Also, since Lane Johnson's return, right tackle in week 5, McCoy's averaging more rushing yards per game than he did last year in his career year.
Right. We're saying the Seahawks defense is back, but, you know, they just played Drew Stanton and a San Francisco.
They're back.
I know they are back, but they also just played Drew Stanton, who, you know.
We've seen their defense.
Got taken care of by Atlanta for 59 minutes at 3 points. And then they played Colin Kaepernick, who couldn't score more than 17 points against Washington
at home.
Well,
6 points in 2 weeks is impressive. I mean, I don't care who it's against.
It's totally impressive. Yeah. All I'm saying is they are going up a major step in class here.
Right, but we've seen this same defense with the personnel they have now shut down the best quarterbacks in the league week after week after week.
Well, let's not bury the lead. Isn't this really Mark Sanchez finally, you know, Greg, you said it downstairs, he hasn't faced many defenses. Now he is, and I think we've also talked about he looks completely different to me. He looks like he's getting good coaching for the first time in his career. He's not perfect, but if he played this way for the Jets in the last couple of years, they never would have let him go. But this is a different team, and that's why he's playing differently. But, man, up against Seattle, we're going to find out if he's prone to turnovers and mistakes.
This is our only 2-3 split of the week. Both Greg and Patra pick the Eagles. The rest of us take the Seahawks. So
nice.
I feel bad for Greg and Patra. Greg can fall further down
in
the standings.
By the way, another reminder, four-way tie atop the standings right now.
Newsflash, you can't win a Super Bowl, I don't think, with wide receivers combining. Your starting wide receivers have combined for under 90 yards the last 2 weeks. And the best players.
Can we rewind to last December when you were saying the exact same thing about the Seahawks passing
game? They improved quite a bit down the stretch, but I just find it hard. The best plays Russell Wilson makes every week are dump-offs to running backs or totally improv plays. I just think it's going to be hard to win a Super Bowl that way.
All right, let's move on to the Monday night game. This will be a game between the Atlanta Falcons and the Green Bay Packers. And by the way, and Mark Sessler, I know you're excited because you know what this is all about. Two first-place teams squaring off.
Yeah, well,
the mighty soaring Falcons and the mighty Packers.
That's the thing. A lot of people want to talk about Green Bay.
I don't know why I started
NFC
talking about
power.
Oprah there. I was like full Oprah there.
But you're right, though. Like, let's not – everyone, shine a light on Green Bay. It's the Falcons we need to get excited about.
What?
What excites you about the Falcons?
They're a powerhouse in the NFC South.
You
inside
love those,
that South
You
alone.
Love those domes.
Mark did fall Dome down teams. The steps on his way to the
all right, I'm just trying to help the segment out.
Oh, okay. Z Drizzle was trying to sell this as a trap game?
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
No.
It's in Lambeau.
If it was in Atlanta, maybe. But to me, I think this is 42-17.
But this is a 33-0 at halftime.
But guess what? The country gets to watch Aaron Rodgers. That's fun.
The Falcons did, to their credit, just put up 500 yards on the Cardinals, who have been a really good defense. When I watched that performance, I thought that must be the best Atlanta offensive performance of the year. I mean, they were going up and down the field, and Julio Jones had one of the best games you'll ever see out of a wide receiver.
Why doesn't he do that every week?
Maybe they're a little dangerous. I don't know.
He needs Patrick Peterson to play like that?
I guess so.
You're not going to get Steven Jackson to do what he did last week again.
Well, you know why?
For a number of reasons.
Because Antonio Cromartie doesn't play for the Packers.
Right. Mm.
And boy, also, that was a business decision.
And Roddy White, by the way, we've entered the phase of Roddy White's career now where he seems to be perpetually banged up. He didn't practice on Thursday, so we don't know if he'll be in the game, if he'll be himself. So it will be up to Julio Jones and Harry Douglas, who's done some things, or last week he did. So, I don't know, this seems like a game that's tilted way in the Green Bay's favor. And honestly, I won't pick them against them ever for the rest of the season, but especially if they're at Lambeau. I am not picking against
them. They're going to the NFC title game. This is a mere inconvenience along the way.
All right. As you can imagine, we all picked the Packers except for Mark, who took the Falcons.
That's not accurate.
Not true. Okay. We move on to Cincinnati. This is a game, an AFC North, major implications, obviously, because we have this group. We talked about on Wednesday's podcast. I think we were split about who was going to win that North. I took the Bengals. I believe the rest of you guys all picked the Steelers. So this game obviously has huge implications. The Steelers coming off really a dreadful performance at home and a loss to the Saints. And the Bengals, they squeaked one out against the Bucks, got some help on a bizarre play call, bizarre 12 men on the field call at the end, survived the bad Dalton first half. So now these two teams square off. Wes, pretty sure you feel the Steelers are going to take care of business here.
Andy Dalton hasn't done well against Dick LeBeau defenses. He's won 2 out of 6 games since he was drafted against the Steelers. And I think LeBeau does a really good job of taking away A.J. Green. When you take away A.J. Green, Andy Dalton doesn't know where to go with the ball.
As long as Ike Taylor's not involved. I like the year-long storyline. Oh, wait till Ike Taylor's back for the Steelers.
People were
like,
saying that?
Well, I don't know. People were kind of, okay, they're going to get some people back later in the season. Ike Taylor gets on the field, and he gets flamed all week.
He came last week, came dancing out of the tunnel with this terrible tower over his face like an outlaw. It's like, he got burned. Get that guy off the field.
Kenny Stills killed him. I mean, he had a rough game.
William Gay had a rough game, too.
I have a hard time. I trust the Steelers' offense to bounce back and have a nice effort than I do Dick LeBeau and the Steelers defense to slow them down, just because I don't know where the plays are coming from that Steelers defense lately.
I think for me it was just that we've seen the Steelers go up and down. Last week was down, and the Bengals have been up for too long. It's going to come.
Last week was down.
Well,
they got a win, but it was down.
A win is a win.
That was ugly.
That's what I'm saying. Maybe that was the roller coaster tipping down. This is Pittsburgh's game. I think they're going to sweep the Bengals this season.
I hold in my hands, gentlemen, the 2014 season week 14 research notes. Thank you, TD. And here's a great one. Despite, and this is for the Bengals haters, which they're plentiful in this room, despite their 8-3-1 record, the Bengals have the NFL's 17th best point differential. The Bengals have only outscored opponents in one of the four quarters this season in the second quarter, 72-42.
Maybe they can play this whole game in the second
that
quarter.
That is obtuse.
Woo!
That's a very useful stat, Dave.
Thank you.
They got to get it. Maybe they'll draft a quarterback this year. They have a lot of talent. I mean, they do have a lot of talent.
They just signed
up
to a big contract.
I know.
Maybe they'll draft a quarterback.
You know who's been good for them before? Ray Maluga's added a lot. He's not usually a guy that I think of as a great player, but since he's come back in the lineup, he's been on fire for them.
Their run defense is much better than it was, but now Le'Veon Bell has a chance
to join
Walter Payton as the only players in the history of the NFL. Three straight games, 200 yards from scrimmage.
They trust their defensive line so much. There was a story where Josh McCown basically had a quote this week where he said, the secondary just hung on routes all day long because we knew the front seven would take care of business. I mean, there's a lot of talent in Cincinnati. No one's knocking them, Dan. It's just that Andy Dalton, 5 touchdowns, 7 picks since week 10.
Pretty sure Wes
he's going to melt down.
Well, this is their chance to show they're a real team because it's my theory that the Steelers are the ultimate. They're a better fantasy team this year than they are a reality team. It's like you never know what they're going to be quarter to quarter.
I don't even
game.
Think that's a theory. That's true.
That's just a fact. Maybe the Bengals will win this, but I'm going Steelers.
All right. We almost forgot.
Defend your hero.
It's the part of the show every Thursday where one of us went against the grain and picked a team that no one else picked. I picked the Bengals in this game. Perhaps not surprising. I'm a Bengals guy. Don't know how this happened in my life, but that's how things have worked out. That's how things shake out. Andy Dalton.
You got to like that.
With eyebrows made out of fire is the guy I believe in, and I think he's going to take care of business in this game against the Steelers because I think the Bengals, with the exception of that Brown stinker, which I rule an outlier, have been.
It was a Bengals stinker, not a Brown
stinker. Oh, I apologize. A lot of Brown stinkers over the years. But I think the Cincinnati is a great home team despite that one game over the past two seasons. So I think they'll take a win. And also, I don't believe in the Steelers. Can't do it. Can't get behind them.
This might be
Can't play with them.
This might be the heaviest favorite hero pick of the year. Not that we know
that
how to
I'm
measure
doomed.
How heavy the favorite is. But the fan consensus is with you, too. Over 60% of America believe in the Bengals.
Well, fan consensus has been better than us this year. So
right?
Usually I would say, well, that doesn't make me feel better. But, yeah, we can't knock them. All right, so that is one hero pick.
The next time I'm at your house, we're going to stage an intervention if you think you're a Bengals fan now.
I'm definitely not a Bengals fan.
You can bring over your dossier.
Yes, the dossier will come out, and I will convince you that you are a misled young man rooting for the Bengals.
I've actually only heard the word dossier in reference to anti-Bengals propaganda from Wes.
It's not propaganda in the least.
I have a grotesque, unconditional love for the Jets, but if something ever happened where the Jets weren't around anymore, you could bet a lot that I would pick a franchise with some nice history to them because I need to get on a winner before I die.
Yeah,
I'm not going with another loser.
You don't want to just hop in from one loser bed to another.
Exactly.
It's a short ride up to Foxborough, buddy.
Yikes, so I wouldn't go that road because Tom Brady's getting older, baby. And Bill's not going
to
be around forever.
That's coming to an end.
He's going to – Bill Belichick.
In 2019.
A couple of years from now, he's going to be on 5 rings, his little cruise
Greg's
boat.
Greg's daughter is already a Jets fan because she can see I have a long life ahead of me. I need to be on the right train.
According to Mark, Tom Brady's going to be traded this season somehow still.
I said a Patriots quarterback, and I was incorrect.
All right, let's move on. So that's one hero pick. We have another hero pick, and this one made me happy because Mark Sessler, you have a long – it's been long known that you love the Browns, and you believe in this team, this 7-5 outfit with Brian Hoyer still at quarterback. What faith this organization has in the veteran passer, the Bruce Springsteen of Cleveland, a working-class hero. And guess what? None of us picked the Browns because we were spooked a little bit by last week, and I, only speaking for myself, I would have picked the Browns if Manziel was starting. With Hoyer still there, I can't do it. Now you explain, Mr. Sessler, if you would, why you picked the Browns. Please defend your hero.
Well, in the middle of the night, I woke up. It was probably 2:50 a.m., and I just was hit with a sensation that said, if you have a chance, if you can get into work quick enough before that photographer takes that screenshot of our picks – I had the Colts switch it over to Cleveland. I thought, why would I do this? But you know what? I'm tired of number one. I can slowly feel the newsroom and all of America cruising in and wanting to hate on Cleveland now, kind of saying, you've had your nice season. Now it's time to shut it down and go back and be the 8-8, 6-10, 4-12 team that you really are. It's time to hate on the Browns. You know what? This game's going to go one of two ways. The one way that scares me is Trent Richardson blows up, Josh Cribbs run two kicks back, and Rob Chudzinski's dancing on the sideline pointing at everyone. But the other way is that the quarterback they stuck with, whether it's him and a combination of Manziel or whether this Mike Pettin team that has been counted out week after week stands up and takes care of the biggest game in Cleveland all season and also in decades, takes care of business. I'm on that train.
I got goosebumps. We should play the Rudy music right now.
I believe that they are facing the Colts, as we mentioned yesterday, are absolutely on fire right now. They're going to be tough to defend. I have to do this. I have to go Cleveland.
Don't have rights to Rudy music.
Ah, too bad. By the way, I don't know if you guys are picking up on this with Mark right now, but Mark is invested more than ever since we've known him in the Browns winning this week. I am a little nervous about what could happen on Sunday, though, if the Colts jump ahead and things start to take a turn. The quiet storm, Mark, it's very intense. Wes, as you know, on Sundays.
There's nothing like it. I mean, it's not even Mark. It's like it's a different guy.
It's true.
The feelings aren't coming out of him.
Well, he ceases to be Mark Sessler, and he becomes
the quiet storm.
I'm just a little worried what could happen when people start cheering for Manziel.
Well, then Greg will stand up on the desk and yell about being group thinkers.
Hey, I didn't say anything publicly until the podcast.
They took his team.
Viciously below average.
They stole his innocence.
Childlike, but not to suggest innocence or purity.
They made a football life about his misery.
Control, Alt, Delete.
And opened a factory of sadness that never closed. Now, the climate is ripe for revenge. This winter, there's a hurricane coming for anyone who looks in his direction on a Sunday.
It'll be an apocalyptic sunset.
Mark Sessler is Quiet Storm.
This show cannot end fast enough, and I have a sharply worded letter to hand to you, my friend.
Oh, boy. That's the doctor you were at, TD. Well done.
Great work by TD with the editing there. Quiet Storm is coming in the theater.
Did you do that before you knew I made a hero pick, too?
No, it all worked out perfectly in this case. But, yeah, but my point is
this
that,
could end disastrously.
And, by the way, TD, I'm sure people are going to want to be able to download that, so we'll have to get that out to the masses.
We'll be hearing that a few more times,
I am concerned. I'm just going to say it. I sit across from you. I could feel the energy sometimes. I hope it doesn't work out that way. I want the Browns to win for you, but I'm a little nervous.
Well, I also
want to see this movie.
If I win and I get up on the picks, you cannot – this is a spectrum game. It's going to be the end of the earth or it's going to be glory.
Who did my wife who works in casting, who did she cast – Mark Sessler as in the biopic?
Joaquin Phoenix.
Ah, yes.
Oh, yeah. I like that.
That's perfect.
Walking through the forest or something. Rain.
I love the idea of Joaquin Phoenix's Quiet Storm.
Well, we'll see.
All right. Moving on. Gotta move on. We could talk about Mark's movie career at length at a future podcast, maybe during the offseason, but now we got to get to Detroit. Ford Field, to be specific, where the Lions will host the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Lions, you know, let's be truthful about it. They are right next to the Packers in the standings, but none of us really believe in them. They win out. They win the division. We'll see if they end up putting up a fight and make that Week 17 game against the Packers meaningful. But for now, they play a bad Bucs team that's 2-10. They got to take care of business, and we assume they will, right?
You'd have to look pretty hard to find a more unfair matchup than the Lions' defensive line against the Bucks' offensive line.
Yes, it's nice to see Wes finally admitting that Josh McCown can't save this terrible Bucks team.
I never said he would save them.
I stopped. I can't watch this team anymore.
Oh, I saw the shot you took at me in your quarterback index.
Oh, yeah.
What? Greg's QB index. He did 1 to 32. Check that out at NFL.com/. Does it have a vanity?
It doesn't, but you can just go to ATL, whatever.
The Bucks, you know, they are terrible, but they've been in eight games decided by
time out.
8 points.
I want to know what was the shot.
The shot was like, why did anyone think going to Josh McCown was going to help? Glennon has been better
this year.
That's
not what the shot was.
Did you, like, link to a photo of his head?
I also wanted to know that I wasn't being biased, so I went and checked out QBR. I checked out Pro Football Focus. I checked out Football Outsiders. They all had Glennon higher, too. He's McCown has not looked good. I mean, the offensive line's not good either, but he's not
helping. No quarterback's going to – Josh McCown's not the answer. I'm not saying he is. But he's not as bad as Mike Glennon.
What was the shot? I mean, there was no other shot,
was
there?
You said Chris Wessling has vehemently disagreed with me, and then you cited all these stats swatting me down.
You set him up.
But, Wes, when the boss speaks out against you on a website, you just have to lay down and accept
I it. Thought it was a sign of respect because it's so rare we disagree this much. You know, I had to – to all back right. it up.
Mark is by far the most reverential towards Greg.
And I'm just saying,
every show, it's like, whatever Greg says,
if the boss were to call me out on an international website, I'd have to say, wow, maybe I have to rethink my own thinking. I trust myself, but Greg is never wrong.
There he goes again. Wow. Home runs. You've turned him into like a zombie.
Yeah, robot.
I don't like it.
all right, McCown not very good, and we might have missed another making the leap candidate potentially. Shocker.
I think we went down swinging
now,
on that.
The only
one.
Thing I will say is this, and I don't think this is the game. I said on a Wednesday show, I don't think the Lions make the playoffs because I think they're going to pull a Lions at some point and blow an easy game. I can't imagine they're going to blow this one though. Like Wes said, everything seems lined up for a blowout. It would be stunning if they didn't win by two touchdowns.
Agree.
I would be. When the Bucks' solution is going back to Doug Martin, just because Charles Sims looks like the running back version of Jermaine Gresham or something. Like that's what he looks like running back there. They just have no answers.
Doug
it's not McCown's
big
fault.
Game last week. They put in O'Neal Cousins as an extra tight end to establish the run. They put all their marbles in, and Doug Martin had a good first half. He had more yards in the first half than he had in any game all season, and he finished the game at 3.2 yards per carry, which is an upgrade on what he had been.
What happened to him? Is it his team around him, or is it Martin regressed?
I mean, he's been injured. He's had a number of injuries.
He's as indecisive at the line as any running back in the league. I think that has to do with timing. If you read our excellent Joe Posnanski piece this week on Priest Holmes, he talks a lot about needing three steps and getting the timing down with your offensive linemen. They've had offensive linemen shuffled in and out there, but he's also not very quick.
Well, also,
there's no explosiveness.
If we're going to say Tampa has a terrible line, and they do, that's going to affect your running game.
Yes. But, of course, Bobby Rainey's averaging 4.3 yards per carry.
But when he was the muscle hamster a couple of years ago, wasn't he quick then? Or is this something where he's been slowed, injury? But it was a shoulder injury that shut him down last year. What happened to this guy? I mean, he's one of those guys that's hard to figure out because he looked like a young star, and now he just seems like a jag.
I agree. He does seem like a jag. Mm.
Anyway, so that will be a blowout. Let's move on to another one. The Houston Texans. Actually, this might not be a blowout. The Texans, 6-6. And listen, I think they're still in the mix right now in the AFC playoff race because they have the best player in the NFL maybe in J.J. Watt.
All I know is you mess with me, you got problems. That's all I know.
Can't be played enough. J.J. Watt, who's coming off one of the more dominant games of the season, now he gets to go to Jacksonville, face a Jaguars team that – let's face it, you know, messed up their draft standing a little bit by beating the Giants by accident on Sunday. So now the Texans can get to 7-6 if they take care of business. We'll see what version of Ryan Fitzpatrick they get. They won't get the guy that threw six touchdowns on Sunday.
I think there's some zero pick potential here. We all picked the Texans. I thought hard about the Jaguars. I don't see these two teams as too different, and it's in Jacksonville. Maybe they found something last week a little bit with Bortles in the hurry-up. He looked good at the end of the game. It just wouldn't surprise me if this is one of those kind of divisional upset games in Jacksonville.
Yeah, I agree. It wouldn't have shocked me either. I mean, I don't think they don't need a Fitzpatrick who throws six touchdowns. They need one who doesn't throw any interceptions. And he showed a lot of chemistry with DeAndre Hopkins last week. And, Dan, you said it. I think every one of us that's covered the Texans, it doesn't matter what game it is this year, J.J. Watt, I would vote for him for MVP at this point. I realize that's a weird thing to do.
No,
but
like
every single game, he is single-handedly involved in why they win. He's scoring touchdowns. That isn't even
think about it,
though.
Even if they don't make the playoffs, and let's say they go 9-7, and Watt, you know, does what he's doing and ends up with this outrageous stat line and all these wow plays. I know Aaron Rodgers is having a great year, and there's other players that are as well, too, but I would think – you would almost have to give it to him because he willed a team to playoff contender status just by his greatness.
You just don't
see
that
anybody
standout.
Can will a team to 8-8 or 9-7.
Oh, come on.
Well, but
see,
Wes,
you know what? You're letting your hatred of the Texans infect Watt's season.
I don't hate the Texans at all. I like the Texans. But Aaron Rodgers is having an awesome year, and he affects games
more
than
J.J.
Watt
does. And he has
an
amazing team around him. Watt makes a 3-13 team a 9-7 team. I mean, that's what's more valuable than a guy that can swing that amount of wins?
Then in a way, though, the MVP award is trash because it's always really going to go to an offensive player.
It's always was going to go to a quarterback, unless no quarterbacks have a good year, which I don't think. I think Watt is a strong candidate. I probably would vote Rodgers, but they would be my top two.
I would put him second right now behind. But yeah, Rodgers, to me, fair. Rodgers is the most valuable.
And Rodgers deserves it, obviously. I mean, he's been amazing this season. He's an all-time quarterback. But, yeah, I just, you know,
here's what I find interesting. Bill O'Brien, did you write this article that Bill O'Brien said, we're not, this isn't a circus with J.J. Watt playing offense? He was an all-state tight end in high school. Had a scholarship to college to play tight end. To me, there's no reason why he can't be used in the red zone on a regular basis.
And maybe he will. And maybe they'll need to keep scoring. They won't have Jadeveon Clowney, who's out for the year.
But
what a terrible season. Yeah. I mean, I know it's all injuries, but it's still disappointing for a guy that had a very poor last year in college. Or not very poor, but a disappointing last year in college. He's had two straight disappointing years.
And I don't think he was necessarily treated well by his own team. We had the reports all season about team being disappointed with him. The guy's knee was messed up even after he came back. There's not much you can do when you can't move the way, you know, that's a bad spot for him.
Real quick props. We nailed making the leap on DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah.
That was the best game I've seen by a wide receiver all year.
Nailed it.
Came out of the gate with two diving catches. He has two deep touchdowns. Gets almost 100 yards after the catch, just running wild. It reminded me of the game Alshon Jeffrey had last year against the Vikings where he just dominated in every phase of the game.
Was Fitzpatrick, though, was it a total mirage? He's going to go back to being the nightmare that we saw before?
Well, I think Ryan Fitzpatrick, we know who he is. Last week doesn't change anything. He's still Ryan Fitzpatrick.
All right, moving on. We all took the Texans there. Next up, the Baltimore Ravens head to Miami to face the Dolphins. Now, this is an interesting game. The Ravens coming off really that bad, bad loss to the Chargers, got clipped at the end. And they face the Dolphins, who are 7-5 in the mix in the wild card race. Greg would say they're right in the mix for the AFC East race.
I didn't say that.
You know, they beat the Jets, and it was not a very impressive win. But now they're at home, and Haloti Ngata got suspended on Thursday. Four games. He's out until the end of the regular season, so he could rejoin them before the, you know, by the start of the playoffs if they make it. But that's a huge loss for this team. How big a loss is Ngata?
Last year I would have said not very big because he wasn't playing that well, but I think Greg's pointed this out. He's been playing at borderline all-pro level this year.
Well, and Andrew Siciliano pointed out downstairs that he's one reason that C.J. Mosley's had the season he's had.
Right. I think Nada's been an all-pro or right there. I mean, Gerald McCoy's having a great year in the middle, and Ndamukong Suh's having a great year. All three of them could be Defensive Player of the Year candidates if it was a different year and Watt wasn't around. Look, the Ravens have lost their two best players on defense. Since Jimmy Smith left, they have not been the same in the secondary, and now you lose Haloti Ngata.
That's huge.
That's a problem. That was enough. I was already totally on – I was on the fence with this game. It really – I had a hard time picking it, and now I'm just going to go Dolphins for that
one. I'm with you. I yesterday, you know, I apologized to this corporation, Ameritrade. We have this thing, this confident call, and I went with the Ravens. But then since then, bang, Nada's out with some sort of, you know, he's suspended, he's out.
TD Ameritrade.
Well, I'm
there. To recap, we are changing two of our confident calls so far.
I'm actually going to the Dolphins, too.
All right. Well, it wasn't your call, though. At least that's.
By the way, the Ameritrade people should have done more research on how confident we were as people.
Well,
or Ameritrade probably not on board with us making picks on Tuesday when suddenly a wild storm of information comes at us that tells us their best defender's not in.
Next week, well, it'll be like the mealy mouth pick of the week.
Losers. Listen, we're doing the best we can. Give us a hard
it's
time.
Hard picking these games. It's stressful. I mean, you're right. You remember.
Well, we're terrible at it.
Stressful.
So.
If you drop out of the race like me, it's not stressful at all.
Everyone does have that Tannehill game in their mind from last week, and I think that's the problem watching that. I don't know what's up with this Dolphins defense. You think of their rush defense, who's given up 400 yards in the last 2 weeks, having to go against Baltimore, and there's nothing wrong with that, you know, running game. They should have another 200 yards.
All right, moving on. The New York Jets head to Minnesota to face the Vikings. This feels like a game we don't have to spend too much time on. Jets are going nowhere, and they're forced to play a quarterback no one believes in, so that's cool. And the Vikings are, you know, they've hung around. They're 5-7, but not a great team by any stretch. We're trying to find out what Teddy Bridgewater is made of. How will Greg, you seem to really be not too impressed by Teddy Bridgewater. Why do you
feel contraire.
That way?
I'm turning around.
Me.
I have a hot Teddy Bridgewater take. Well, if you had to take one of these rookie quarterbacks, Mark's the rookie expert around here, but
Harden.
I don't want that dude loves
rookies.
I think if you had to pick a rookie quarterback to win a game this week, it's definitely Bridgewater. I just think he plays like a veteran. He just smells, and this maybe it's damning with faint praise, but he's a guy like analysts like to call crafty, or he's just a winner. He just smells like he's going to have this Alex Smith, you know, maybe Andy Dalton-like career, in that even right now you can kind of see that he plays more like a veteran than the rest of the rookies.
I wrote the same thing in my game rewind notes for 3 weeks in a row that he's a future Alex Smith.
Oh, really? I stole that whole take, actually, from Wes.
No, that's right.
You broke into Wes's diary?
No, I didn't know. That wasn't on purpose.
Wes has a diary with all his notes with a little locket, and Greg picked it in an evil, sinister manner.
He does all these things like trying to get the other, you know, side to go off sides and doing it in really complicated ways and just all these things that, you know, other rookies' heads are swimming too much, I think, to be trying to pull that stuff off.
You know, I thought you were talking about Wes.
Oh.
You know what else he has? Our guy Charles Johnson.
Mm. That's right. And, you know, Wes and I were
laughed at
for saying that Charles Johnson might have a little promise. You know what? They just benched Cordarrelle Patterson.
Wow.
Our number one making the leap guy. Another total swing
and miss.
Wait,
he outplayed Cordarrelle Patterson? Wow, he must be really
good.
Well,
I'm just saying, everyone's making fun of him 6 months ago. Now he's a starter, and he's got more targets than anyone on the team over
the last
3 weeks.
I think Greg could start over Cordarrelle Patterson at this point.
You know what? Keep knocking Charles Johnson. Just make it a trend. Make it your thing, Dan.
Wait, no. It's your thing. You love Charles Johnson so much. Let's see it. Now he's in the starting lineup.
He's done it for 3 weeks.
Okay. What did he do last week? Let's talk about it again. 2 catches for 30 yards?
They barely threw the ball.
He was targeted like 7 times.
Was
he? Yeah.
He's got like 180 yards, touchdown.
Did he catch that little frisbee throw?
He had 100-plus yards a couple weeks ago.
Let's just see him do something.
Nice
we talk about him every week. I'd like to see like a big game eventually.
I'm not sure that we talk about him every week. I think this is like maybe the third time since August that we've mentioned his name.
Probably the best receiver on the Jets.
Everybody calm down.
I want the Vikings to win this game, and I want them to keep winning at home, so that they reconsider and maybe just stay in that outdoor stadium. That's a home field advantage right there.
We're bringing Greg over to our side.
Well, there is something about it. It was like 10 degrees there last week.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I can't wait till Eric Decker hides in Teddy Bridgewater's duffel bag and stays on the Vikings because he can't wait to get out of that team.
Wait, he would want to go to the Vikings? He's got a better.
Well,
he should wait till the Jets
play
someone better.
He'll keep playing stowaway and get climb
How
up the list.
How big is Teddy Bridgewater's duffel bag?
I didn't even know he had one.
All right, moving on. We all picked the Vikings. Moving on, the Carolina Panthers. Oh, what a big showdown in the NFC South. Get excited. The Panthers roll into the Superdome to face the Saints. The Saints now 5-7, tied with the Falcons atop the NFC South. The Panthers playing out the string. They stink. I thought the Saints looked great against the Steelers. Wes, did you watch that game yet on your old Game Rewind diary notes?
The Saints game?
Yes.
Yes, I did.
Your thoughts about them?
Well, I thought I was happy that Mark Ingram looked good again after taking a couple of weeks off with the shoulder injury. I don't know. Brees looked good, but their passing game still was like, all right, why is Kenny Stills the only guy doing anything?
If Carolina is going to win this division at 5-10-1, they're going to need to take this game on Sunday.
It's a must win.
I can't believe how bad the Panthers are, how unfun they are to watch. I never thought I'd reach a stage where I don't enjoy watching Cam Newton.
That was
my number one guy, I would say, going into the year I enjoyed.
They need to do a better job next year giving him some players around him. Well he's going to leave. He'll leave.
No, he can't leave.
Well, eventually, when he can leave, he will, because he'll get annoyed and frustrated with the losing and them
not
supporting him.
That's not how the NFL works. Quarterbacks can't leave if the team wants them to stay.
He could have a new coach and a new coordinator next year.
They could also offer him about $100-whatever million this offseason, which would seem smart to do, and he'd probably take it, I guess.
He could pull a Carson Palmer. That's his only option. But with the franchise tag, quarterbacks have to stay where they are.
Well, this will be your favorite Panthers game of the year because D'Angelo Williams broke his hand, and now they have to go to Jonathan Stewart, who played great last week.
D'Angelo Williams has had a very nice career, and it would behoove Riverboat Ron to realize that was in the past tense.
Wow. Riverboat Fire. Ron might be in the past tense.
Yes.
That would be dramatic if that happened.
Paddleboat Ron.
I guess I just have a bit of a sesso that Cam Newton is not a Panther for life. I think his career, before he turns age 30, he's going to be somewhere else.
Yeah. If that happens, it'll be because he never develops.
Just call it a Sessler. I don't know.
Fourth year. He needs to
2 out of every 10 Sesslers happen to come true, by the way. So
is that the stat?
That's totally just out there as a potential guess.
How many more games do we have here? Wow, there are a lot of games.
All right, let's move on.
Well, one last thing. Yes. Cam Newton's coming on under a little too much fire this year. Give him an offensive line. Give him wide receivers.
Yeah.
And please get him a quarterback guru instead of Mike Shula.
That's the biggest issue. I mean, imagine if he was on Philly or Miami or some team that knew what to do with a mobile quarterback.
How about Jim Harbaugh?
He's got Mike Shula, who couldn't win at Alabama with all the advantages in the world. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Next up, the Giants go to Nashville to play the Tennessee franchise. I don't know how this happened, but we all picked the Giants to win on the road. I know the Titans stink, but come on. We're all getting behind the Giants at such a vast level. That seems a little crazy.
There were a couple 5-across picks this week that got me worried that we're starting to become what I was accusing the newsroom of last week. A lot of groupthink.
By the way, a shadowy league figure was not happy with Rosenthal taking what were perceived as shots at the newsroom. A shadowy league figure loomed over Greg, probably twice as big as Greg, and basically pointed down at him and said, "So you're taking shots at the newsroom?"
Called it unprofessional. Yeah.
This happened.
Said I was a wet blanket and whatever, not enjoying the Johnny Manziel era, whatever. Give me a break.
Painted Greg as someone that doesn't approach his job in a professional manner.
A malcontent.
Anyway, we all took the Titans. Is there anything else we need to say about this game? Because
Odell
Beckham was fun to watch.
We've mentioned all of the national media love for Zach Mettenberger, which is making me scratch my head to a serious degree. I saw a stat this week, failed drive percentage, which means you've got the ball and you don't get a field goal or a touchdown. In the last 15 years, he has the third worst percentage ever.
I think any QB with a big arm gets a lot of rope when they hit the scene. He might hang himself with it soon.
I think Greg has made me watch a Titans game on a Sunday for 17 straight weeks.
That's not true.
I can tell
that
you,
is totally false.
I can tell you that Mettenberger hits 2 or 3 passes a day that I guess people are seeing on primetime or something or on Total Access.
People who fall in love with big arms like those plays.
My entire September was stained by the Titans. 4 straight weeks I covered that team.
Wait, Dan, you're off the hook. You don't. Finally, a game you get to watch an exciting player like Odell Beckham, but Connor will have the game, not you.
Ah, too bad. Connor Orr, the great Connor Orr, lives in a haunted mansion in the middle of New Jersey. Moving forward, the St. Louis Rams, the best 5-7 team in the history of the NFL, faces the Washington Redskins and Colt McCoy, RG3 wasting away. Nobody even talks about the guy anymore, and, you know, that's not such a bad thing. McCoy put up some decent numbers last week in a loss to Minnesota, but that was a little
Indianapolis,
but that was a little deceiving. We talked about it. The Rams go 7-9 every year, and then everyone says how amazing the Rams are going to be in the future. So you figure if they got to get 2 more wins in the next 4 weeks, this will be one of them to get to 7, right?
I love that Jeff Fisher was asked this week if he would do the RG3 trade over again. Yeah, you have to ask that question, but I just love that he was asked
that. You don't have to ask that.
He's like, yeah, I think I would do that.
Speaking of groupthink, you don't have to ask that question, but national media types love to think that you have to ask that question. It's a no-brainer.
It is, of course, but it is kind of fun to think about with these two teams.
What's a football game without 18 narratives?
Well, they're happy not to have RG3, and that makes sense, but I'm – what was the final – what did they get out of that deal? I know it's all
there
settled
There is a
now.
List, and it's in a story we just did, and it's –
Michael
they got
Brockers,
3 defensive
Janoris
starters.
Jenkins.
Ogletree.
Alec Ogletree.
Zach Stacy.
Michael Brockers.
And, you
they're
know,
all solid.
Well, listen, I mean, a number of them are making their defense what they are.
Well, I mean, they're still going 7-9 every year, and major problem why they go 7-9 is because they don't have a quarterback.
Exactly.
No, RG3 wasn't the guy they should have taken, but still. So
maybe he's a star if he's in St. Louis because Mike Shanahan never puts him back into a playoff game.
That's very fair.
Colt McCoy, though, was a little flashier than expected last week. Not great and not as good as his numbers, but he made some very athletic, kind of exciting plays. He was kind of fun
if
to
If anything,
watch,
like we said, he has extended his career half a decade. He's not going to be working in a hardware store 4 months from now. He's going to still be in the NFL.
McCoy's bought into Jay Gruden's offense, and RG3 hasn't.
Who lasts longer, Colt McCoy or RG3 in the NFL?
Well, I mean, wow. Colt McCoy, by the
I
way,
can't believe
Colt McCoy, whether
it's
well,
the most depressing question you've ever had.
Colt McCoy is older, but is old, the one thing about him, he's always been a guy who's great in the locker room, great in the quarterback room. RG3, everywhere, everything he does seems to turn into total nightmare for the coaches in the locker room. So I say Colt McCoy.
Hold on. I just got a tweet from RG3 saying it's not a nightmare.
Oh, sorry, Robert Griffin III.
Jay Gruden, I mean, the whole thing between Gruden and Griffin, and you can say about Shanahan too, it seems very personal. That if they liked the player, if they liked Griffin at all, that a lot of these things wouldn't happen. Because if Griffin is a guy that they truly liked, they wouldn't be just burying him and saying, we're done with him. Like, we're done with him.
All right, this next game is a big one for Wes and I. We, on Wednesday's show, and if you haven't listened to it, you definitely should. You can find all our podcasts, Wes, at NFL.com/podcast. Nice. And we talked about who would be our wild card picks. Wes and I both see the Chiefs getting in the back door, so they got to win this game. They're going to Arizona. They are sitting at 7-5 right now. Arizona, of course, 9-3, but riding a two-game losing streak. Sessler has already predicted a 9-7 finish for the Cardinals, so you know where he stands on this.
Well, I also picked the Cardinals to win.
Everyone picked the Cardinals to win.
Oh, wait,
this game.
No, that's not fair.
I operate in many directions. It's totally fair.
Oh, that's lame. You've been saying this
for
like a week.
This is why I'm tied at the top, because I will surprise you.
Tied at the top is not an achievement when 80% of the group is tied at the top.
Well, it's better. Where's Wes?
Wild
card. No offense, Wes, but, you know. I'd rather be where I am.
Wait a second. So you're saying the Cardinals are going to go 9-7, but they're going to win their 10th game on Sunday?
Everything's in play.
That is the most Sessler thing.
Everything is in play.
He's covered either way.
Worry about your own picks, and then we'll go from there.
You can still change it.
I'm taking a 1-minute break. You guys go on.
I think that's absolutely fair. Two different platforms, different agendas.
This is another game, though, that was extremely hard to pick, and I'm shocked that we went 5 across on the Cardinals, because I really struggled trying to pick this game, especially after watching the Cardinals give up 500 yards to Atlanta. We all went with the Cardinals.
I was just thinking I was going with the Chiefs.
Dan, come back into the show.
I'm still processing it. Okay, I'm back.
I think when I was watching the Atlanta game, I thought maybe Drew Stanton had a chance. Maybe Bruce Arians could have made something out of him if they had a running game and if Larry Fitzgerald was healthy.
Right.
But I don't know what the stats are.
He's back
are.
This week, though, Fitzgerald.
I don't know what the stats are, but I can tell you just by watching games, the Cardinals have by far the worst rushing attack in the NFL.
Well, they're third statistically, I think, second or third.
Well, over the last month, they have to be the worst.
31st, yeah, in terms of rushing yards per game. But they have the advantage that they've played with the lead almost all season. So to be 31st, even though they've had so many leads, is crazy. I mean, Marion Grice was
Who?
Their leading rusher last week.
Isn't that John Wayne's real name?
And now you lose Honey Badger. It's just they have had a tough spot, but the Chiefs have been awful the last 2 weeks too.
I think I know what it is, Mark. Because if this is what it is, where you're – what does Mark say? Does it mean anything? Does anything mean anything? And then I wonder about our friendship and the conversations we've had and confidence with each other where we've told each other things. Have you ever been truthful with me, or is there another agenda?
I've never been truthful with you. It's all a mist. None of it's real.
You're a nihilist game picker.
No, you know what? I honestly forget. I kind of forget my picks, and I don't even remember picking the Cardinals till about 5 minutes ago. That's
well,
what it comes
this
down
is
to.
Your chance now, last chance to get on page with yourself.
I will get right on that when this show ends.
All right, moving on. The Buffalo Bills. I don't believe you for some reason. I don't think you will change that pick.
I have till Sunday to make my mind up.
I wish you weren't a liar.
The Buffalo Bills are traveling to Denver to face the Broncos. The Bills, by the way, and their fans that deserve to be happy about the Bills being in contention in December.
You're about to drop a bomb on them.
Yeah, but guess what's going to happen? It's just about to end. I have this video, actually. There's a video, a YouTube video. Somebody in the Buffalo area, I would assume, put together a beautiful – and read the end around to see this, a beautiful Christmas display where they time it up with music and the lights, and it's like something clearly took them hours and hours and perhaps weeks to set up, and it's like a Bills-themed Christmas light spectacular on their house. And I'm thinking to myself, God, good thing they got this done before the December schedule hit, because what do they got? They have at Broncos.
What does it have, like a
– Patriots.
Patriots.
Packers.
Packers.
Yeah, come on.
In the mix. Not all in a row, but yeah.
They're basically they're in the playoffs right now.
So just enjoy 7-5, because in a blink you're going to be 7-8.
I think, Mark, that's a great way to look at it. You're already in the playoffs. Look at the teams you get to play.
And you get to lose and stay in the playoffs.
I want to see this Christmas display. Does it have like a Kyle Orton throwing a ball that misses his receiver and hits them in the feet or something?
Does it have Sammy Watkins disappointing people?
Oh, yeah. Robert Woods, by the way. The whole Robert Woods, Sammy Watkins preseason sandwich bet has suddenly gotten interesting
last
week.
Here are the numbers.
He's dropped
11 yards last week.
Here we go. Sammy Watkins, 51 for 695 and 5. Robert Woods, 49 for 550 and 3.
But he's caught up about 150 yards in the last 2 weeks alone.
Yeah,
that's
usually
big.
Takes Robert Woods
down
5 weeks to get 150 yards, so that's progress.
Well, Watkins has fallen off the map the last 4 weeks. I don't think he's crossed 35 yards in any of those games.
They gave him the business last week. They bracketed him and got physical with him.
Who did? What was it?
Whoever they were playing against.
This
what
is
team
was it? Cleveland secondary.
Yeah. Oh, Wes blocked it out.
I block out the Browns.
When Browns do well, Wes just like eliminates it from his brain.
Some team.
I totally expect the Broncos to win.
Recycle bin. Click.
But isn't this a pretty fun matchup?
I think.
When the Broncos have the ball especially, I think it'll be fun.
I like any team. No. The one thing about Denver, if any team can get pass rush on Manning, that makes it interesting to me.
The Bills might be my favorite fan base in the league. I wish I do well. But look, it's not your fault. It's not your fault, Bills fans, that you're stuck with Kyle Orton and EJ Manuel. Sorry, but your team's not good enough to go to the playoffs.
You're watching Peyton Manning against that Bills defense. Tell me, when that's happening, that's an intriguing little matchup.
I'd like to see Marcell Dareus and Kyle Williams do a Peyton Manning sandwich.
28-6 at halftime.
Not going to happen.
San Francisco 49ers. Oh, it's the Bay Bridge battle, guys. The battle for the Bay Bridge. The San Francisco 49ers head to Oakland to face the Raiders. The Raiders, who lost 52-0 last week, now face a Niners team that needs to win to stay in contention in the NFC West. So you would think the Niners would be sufficiently motivated. However, this has been a bit of a strange season in San Francisco. Any chance the Raiders put up a fight after really humiliating themselves on last Sunday?
Well, this is Jim Harbaugh's audition, not that he needs one, against Oakland, so he should drop a hammer on the Raiders and say...
Do you have inside info?
Good point.
Well, in fact, this is the game where someone gets in a duffel bag and stays with the other team. Jim
duffel
Harbaugh's
bag
out.
Game.
Hey, the last shaky offense that came into the black hole left with a loss. You know what I'm saying? The Kansas City Chiefs, you don't want to go to Oakland. This
was
is
that before or after the Raiders lost 52-0?
I'm trying.
I don't know.
You never know. I don't think the 49ers offense is good enough to assume that they'll score 20 points, 25 points against anyone.
I think I like the Niners better on the road than at home.
Right. If they're in that Gene Stadium.
Gene Center, yeah.
Gene Pants House, that's not going to go well. So put them in Oakland. Better chance.
Former scout John Middlecoff interviewed 5 coaches and NFL execs and asked them about the quarterback battle in this game. Who would you rather have for the future, Derek Carr or Colin Kaepernick? Unanimously, all 5 said Derek Carr, which
blows my mind.
I don't know who they're watching.
They didn't talk to Ron Jaworski.
Did they just ask Mark Davis 5 times?
I don't know who they asked. And look, Derek Carr could have a nice future, but how can you separate him from the checkdowns he's throwing every game? I just don't get what – I don't know. And Kaepernick, it seems a little capricious to me just to jump off what you've seen.
Right.
Wes wrote a great piece, by the way, about this very topic that you could find.
Well, yeah, it was about on a micro level, Kaepernick versus Carr, and on a macro level, is this the demise of running quarterbacks? Bill Pullian said it this week that we're seeing the erosion of running quarterbacks.
It's been a terrible year for it. Andrew Luck used to be grouped with these guys, and there's similarities to their game, but he has pulled far apart from Russell Wilson, Kaepernick, and RG3. Now, Kaepernick and Russell Wilson
and Cam Newton
should not be grouped with RG3. They're playing fine, but Luck is way ahead of them right now.
It's Luck, then Wilson, then everyone else.
This article that Wes wrote, what's the title of it exactly?
The Demise of the Running QB? ?
This is so good that Dan Hansis, for only the second time in 3 years, read a Chris Wesseling article.
Or logged onto our website, for that matter.
And if you enjoy that headline, came from Mark Sessler.
Ooh, I like it.
Oh, yeah.
This is why future managing editor Mark Sessler. All this
desk man, desk jockey, Mark Sessler.
No desire to be a middle manager.
All this kissing up is really paying off.
Greg, I couldn't possibly surpass Greg's work. It would be faulty of me to take that.
You see the cohesiveness of the group you have put together? Help one hand washes the other.
I'm a regular Reggie McKenzie.
NFL.com, there's a lot of stuff on that website. I had no idea.
Maybe too much.
Some of it football.
All right, gentlemen, that's it for Thursday's edition of the Around the NFL podcast. Thank you so much for listening, of course, and you can
find our stuff, you know, at iTunes and at Stitcher. God, when's the iTunes Awards coming back, by the way? Because we got to get that Best of 2014 bling.
This month, next month, end of the year, start of next year.
K. Rich would have been all over this. I have a feeling there's voting at the Stitcher Awards right now. So go check and find out for us, and if there is, vote.
Yeah, so do all that. And, yeah, thank you for listening. We'll be back on Sunday night, of course, with our big wrap-up show, the only NFL podcast that gets up a fresh show on Sunday night. All the other posers, you can't do it. You can't do what we do, and if you try, you'll still go down.
By the way, no Stitcher Awards voting just yet.
Okay.
Oh,
heads up. So I'm on my stuff,
I was in
right?
the I was in the midst of eviscerating
that
our
was,
enemies.
Yeah.
No worries. I just had okay. I felt like Greg was calling me out there.
You know? Yeah, I think he was busy telling our listeners to be Aaron boys. Go Greg? Figure that out for us.
I'm with that plan, yeah.
They help us out. They helped us get the Stitcher.
Yes.
It was nice of them.
All right, so that's it. This is Dan Hansa signing off for Mark Sessler, the Sizzler, they call him, the mailman, the boss, and TD behind the glass.
They took his team.
Viciously below average.
They stole his innocence.
Childlike, but not to suggest innocence or purity.
They made a football life about his misery.
Control, Alt, Delete.
And opened a factory of sadness that never closed. Now, the climate is ripe for revenge. This winter, there's a hurricane coming for anyone who looks in his direction on a Sunday.
It'll be an apocalyptic sunset.
Mark Sessler is Quiet Storm.
This show cannot end fast enough, and I have a sharply worded letter to hand to you, my friend.